Hari Om. So in our last class, we forgot the recording. So we saw shloka number 17, but we'll do a little bit of recap of the shloka so that way in the recording also the shloka is there. The topic at hand is Lakshmidhar Kavi explaining that I am not even the Karana Sharira. I'm not the causal body or the ignorance. And therefore, this experience of I don't know, that experience is, you know, when does it go away? And how long does it stay? That question is there. So in order to give a better understanding, this next shloka was given. That's shloka number 70. Tathapya bhati kopyesha vichara bhava jivanaha. So this this ignorance, tatha, this ignorance is, you know, you can't really explain it in this way or that. So that's why it is mentioned as kopi. It is something. But by this kopi, kaha api. Kaha means something. Api means also. So this ignorance is something which is very inexplicable. And that's what we say. Ajnana is anirvachaniya. Maya is anirvachaniya. Because we cannot explain it in one context or the other. Which context? Whether it is false or whether it is truth. We say it is false, but it appears. So you cannot say it is completely false, like the rabbit's horn. A horn on a rabbit is completely false. So therefore, it requires no discussion. But like that, ignorance is not. Because you see it, you perceive it. So you cannot say it is false. But you cannot also say it is truth. Because upon questioning, upon going deeper into the ignorance, we find that it was never there. It never was existing, but it appeared to exist because of this. So therefore, it is anirvachi. It's a special power. Now this special power he says, Swayam Prakashiti ji explains is that if ignorance is not there, because we said in the previous shloka, in shloka number 16, that ignorance can never touch the Atma, can never come in contact with the Atma. So if ignorance is not there, then why do we feel it? What is the reason that we feel it? And that explanation is given by this word kopi, that it is something which is inexplicable. However, another question comes is, he raises, Swayam Prakashiti ji raises another point where he says, okay, if ignorance cannot touch the Atma, but I feel it, I'm experiencing ignorance. So if I feel experience, then how can you say that ignorance is in opposition with Atma? If I feel it, if I experience it, then ignorance should not be there where Atma is, correct? The point that we are trying to understand is, where there is light, there is no darkness. So if ignorance is there, then Atma cannot be there, because both are in opposition to each other. Both are on a separate end of the pole, like a north pole, south pole, correct? So positive charge, negative charge, they're completely on the opposite end. So how can you explain the experience of ignorance in Atma when ignorance never touches Atma? So there he raises this question, Swayam Prakashiti ji. He raises this idea, think about it this way. He says, do you think ignorance is in opposition with something that is inert or something that is sentient, like the consciousness? Is there an opposition of ignorance with the inert, or is there an opposition of the ignorance with consciousness? And he says, in both cases, if it is inert also, or if it is consciousness also, there is no opposition at all. Meaning they're not contradicting each other. They're not poles apart. How do you say that? How can you say that they're not poles apart? Well, with the jada, with inert, it is very simple. Inert thing is a product of ignorance. Anything that we see in this world, tamas is coming from sattva rajas tamas maya. So maya is the cause for sattva rajas tamas in one way. So how can the product have an opposition with its cause? How can the effect be in opposition with its cause? Not possible. So there we have no objection at all. But our objection is, what about something that is sentient? What about Atma? Atma is sentient, but ignorance is jada. So cannot there be an opposition there? And we say, no, there need not be. The reason being is because both are in a different realm, different transactional plane. And because they're in a different transactional plane, they can coexist. They can still stay together. Meaning, in Atma, one can have ignorance. Because at the paramarthic level, the Atmajnana never changes. It never gets tainted by the darkness of ignorance. Because if it did, then there is a vikara, there's a modification in Atma. And if there's a modification in Atma, then Atma is changing. Then it is no longer Atma. So the whole definition will change of Atma if it were true. So then how do you explain that? So we say it is at the vyavaharika level, at a transactional level. Like how, you know, if you are sitting here, wherever you are sitting, and you were to cover up the camera with your thumb. Right now, you are able to see my thumb. But if I move it closer, now you can't see me. Correct. So you move closer, you can't see me. But did you really cover, did I really cover my own self by covering the camera? No. Like how when, you know, in childhood we played the game. You look at the sun or you look at the moon. And with one thumb, you look at it, you cover. And then you keep changing your eyes and you see the moon change. So just by covering, we didn't really hide the moon. Like that, ignorance can be residing in the person, still it doesn't cover the Atma. So then why am I experiencing this? Well, first, to explain that, why is there this ignorance staying there? Why is this ignorance residing in the person? That word is vichara abhava jivana. Because one's life is devoid of inquiry. One is not questioned in life. Who am I? That is why this Atma is staying. So, what is in opposition with ignorance? It is the knowledge of itself. The knowledge is at the same transactional level as the ignorance. So they are both at the same plane. Therefore, we can use the knowledge to destroy the ignorance. And the self shines on its own. So therefore, where is the opposition? The opposition is at the inquiry level. So where there is knowledge, there cannot be ignorance. But where there is consciousness, where there is Atma Tattva, there can be ignorance. Because there is no contradiction with that. So vichara abhava jivana. Why does it stay there? And that is explained by, how can one get rid of it? Vichara arka udaya avadhi. So we can get rid of that when the udaya, when the rise happens of the vichara arka, when the sun, the brilliance, the radiance of knowledge, inquiry, arises at that point, avadhi. At that point, at that moment, the knowledge destroys ignorance. And this ignorance is compared to avashyaya. Avashyaya, like a fog. Fog stays in the space and it covers the space. And we lose the perception of how far something is. We don't even perceive anything. So by staying in the space, it covers the space. Likewise, ignorance stays in the Atma and it covers the Atma. And all we require is the knowledge to destroy the ignorance. And we use this example that if we look at snake and rope, the snake has no opposition with the rope. There is no contradiction of the snake with the rope. Right? But where is the contradiction? The knowledge of the rope destroys the snake. So contradiction or opposition, not contradiction, opposition is with the knowledge. So the moment you know that this is a rope, you can never perceive a snake anymore. The perception of snake goes away. The fear goes away. But you don't have to, the snake doesn't, what do you call? If the snake had opposition with the rope, then it would never appear on the rope. It can never touch the rope because they're in opposition. So we say that is okay. Snake can appear on the rope, but that is not its reality. There's a rope that is the reality. Okay. So in this way, we saw this idea of ignorance stays in Atma till the vichara is not done. When the vichara is done, then ignorance is destroyed. That is the idea about shloka number 17. Okay. Now we move to the next shloka, which is even more interesting. The next shloka is going to cover this idea. What is the pramana? What is the means for us to tell that I am the Atma? And ignorance is the product of this world. That from Prakriti, all the ignorance came. What is the pramana for that? So we say, what is the pramana? Veda. Scriptures are the pramana. So Swayam Prakashiti ji connects from 17 to 18 with this idea. So he raises this objection saying that everything that is created in this creation is unreal. Correct? Everything is unreal because the whole world itself is unreal. So what is real? Brahman alone is real. Correct? Brahman, other than Brahman, everything else is false. So if you say in that way that everything else is false, then what happens to karma kanda? Meaning the scriptures that guides about karma kanda, that also is false. And along with that, one who desires to go to Swarga, that also becomes false. So there is no there's no purpose in going to Swarga because Swarga is false. So the validity of scriptures is meaningless, useless. That is one idea. And then he says, Vedas don't simply talk about karma kanda. Vedas also speak about jnana kanda. So Vedas that speak about jnana kanda, that also is false. Why only karma kanda? Even jnana kanda is also false. So because of that, then guess what? Moksha also is false. So that means there is no such thing as moksha. So other than Brahman, if everything is false, then what is the means for you to say that Brahman is real? Because only Brahman is real, that's what you're saying. Everything else is false. Then by the means that you are saying everything is false, that also is false. You are saying the world is false because by looking at scriptures, you told that the world is false. But the scripture itself is false. So how can you believe that? It's like this. Somebody, you go to a school your children's school or wherever, and somebody wearing school t-shirt, you know, you come up to them, you talk to them, and they give you very nice advice. But then you come to know that this person was not the school administrator, was not the school teacher, was simply one person who got the t-shirt and was wearing. So I had no knowledge, but whatever they told sounded very nice at that time. Would that word or whatever they said, is that valid? So the person who said everything is false, then how can you say whatever they said is true? So likewise, the scriptures is saying that Brahman is this, that, then, all of that. But the scripture that it is saying itself is false. How can you say then whatever is said by the scripture is true? So that also is false. So this is the question he raises. And to respond to this question, he gives two options. He says, okay, let's ask the question here. When is it false? When is the scripture false? Did the scripture become false did the scripture become false after the rise of knowledge? Or were the scripture false before the rise of knowledge? When do you think the scriptures became false? Rise of knowledge? When the person who used the scripture to gain moksha, to attain liberation, they got liberation. After getting the liberation, the scripture becomes false, or before even getting the knowledge, the scripture becomes false. And he says, the first one, actually both do not apply. Scriptures never become false. So he says the first one where after the knowledge, the scripture becomes false, doesn't apply, because it is like one who is in Brahmacharya ashram, now got married and switched to Grihastha ashram. So whatever they focused on in the Brahmacharya ashram, did that become false the moment they became Grihastha ashram? No, that's not true. Sure, it is not applicable. Whatever was the dharma of the brahmachari is not applicable as a dharma of Grihastha ashram. But application has nothing to do with falsity. Just because you don't apply it doesn't mean it is invalid. Doesn't mean that the scriptures have no purpose at all. Therefore, to say that after Brahmajnana, after realization, the scriptures have no validity is meaningless, because when that scripture which gave the knowledge, it was meaningful then. And because of that meaning, the person attained realization. So scriptures were valid. It is not applicable after, meaning you don't really need scripture after self-realization. Because you don't really need scriptures to tell you to do this and that. You're not guided by the scriptures anymore. You give scriptures the validity now. The Brahmajnani, the master, whatever they do and whatever they say, that becomes the words of scriptures. So you do not need scripture afterwards, but that doesn't mean that the scriptures are false. That is the point number one. So Swayam Prakashatiji says, if you say that the scriptures are false after self-realization, let me tell you, that doesn't work. It is not. It is valid only. It is not applicable, that's all. But it is valid. Point number two. What about the scripture before self-realization? So before self-realization, in order to give that elaboration, this shloka number 18 is going to be discussed. So shloka number 18 is going to explain why scriptures are valid even before self-realization. Before moksha, it is still valid. Okay, so let's chant the shloka 18 and then we'll see the name. You understood the argument thus far? Yeah? Okay. Atma jnana maha nidram jrumbhite smin jagan maye dirgha swapne spurantyete swargamokshadi vibhramaha atma jnana maha nidra jrumbhite smin jagan maye dirgha swapne spurantyete swargamokshadi vibhramaha. The first word is, just to see the context of what the shloka is trying to say. Swarga mokshadi vibhramaha. Vibhramaha, illusions. The Brahma means illusion, right? So vibhramaha, these illusions of swarga. Right? Swarga, heavens. Moksha, liberation. Adi, etc. So the illusions such as heaven, hell, liberation, bondage, all of this, spuranti appears. They are presented. They are projected. They shine. And not really shining, but as though shining. Where do they shine? They shine when jrumbhite, when projected. Jrumbhite, that word, the first word of the second line. When projected. What is projected? Atma ajnana mahanidra. Nidra, sleep. Mahanidra, great sleep. Which great sleep? Ajnana Mahanidra. The great sleep of ignorance. Atma. So, Atma Ajnana. Ignorance of the self. Ignorance of the self is a great sleep. And when that is projected, when that is projected, swarga, moksha, etc., they shine. Where else does it shine? Asmin, here, in that person, in this entity, and jaganmaye, in this jagat. In this world where we are living, which is like dirgha swapna. is like a long dream. So in this long dream, which is this world, which is projected when the Atma Ajnana is there. That's where Swarga, Moksha, etc. are shining. So what is the point of telling all of this? So the point is, first the meaning, okay? The meaning of this idea is that scriptures before self-realization are in the same realm as the self-realization. Meaning, think about it this way. Is moksha real or false? What do you guys think? Is moksha real or false? Yes, Neetuji.
When we think of moksha, we think of then it's just a existence, right? There is no mind or intellect there when we are thinking of it, just a experiential. So when we are talking about the scriptures here, when you don't have a mind or intellect, or when you don't have that ego, you don't need scriptures, but they are still there, validity is still there.
Yes. But my question was, the moksha, the liberation that we have, the liberation that we get, is that real or is that false?
It's just a question, but we are thinking of who is liberated. Is it mind? Is it intellect? Is it soul? But who is getting liberation? So it depends on the question there, that who is this liberation for?
So then, who is liberated? You tell who is liberated? Anita ji.
It's the mind.
Huh, mind is liberated. So if mind is liberated, then is the liberation true or false?
As far as Prakriti is concerned, then it is doesn't exist, right?
Exactly. So liberation itself is false. Liberation itself is
so false. So all this we are doing for so long is all false.
Is all false. Yes. Is all false. But it is very important to see it from this idea. See, moksha that we talk about, this moksha is in the realm of transaction. And because it is in the realm of transaction, the knowledge that we will gain can destroy the ignorance and give us the moksha. But from paramarthika level, from the absolute level, I was always the self. The fact that I did not see myself to be the self is because I was in the transactional realm and I was attached with the transactional objects. So what did the knowledge of the self do? The knowledge of the self made me detached from the worldly things, and therefore I came to realize who I was. So there, that realization that I got was not really real. It just gave me an appearance that I attained something. Because if the moksha were given to me, then that moksha will be taken away by time. That which I attained in time will be lost in time also. Right? So when I attain moksha, I'm not attaining something, I'm only
becoming.
Not even becoming.
No.
I'm only giving away my wrong, erroneous understanding of who I was. And therefore, scriptures do not become invalid. Because scriptures are doing the job of removing the ignorance which is at the level of transactional level, which is at the level of vyavahara. So therefore, before atmajnana, also the scriptures are not invalid. This is the overall theme of the shloka. Now, what Swayam Prakashati ji is explaining, let's take a look at that quickly to understand. Okay. So, first he takes the word Atma Ajnana Mahanidra Jrumbhiti. So, Atma Ajnana, the ignorance of the self. This ignorance of the self is compared to the great sleep, Mahanidra. Why is it Maha? Why is it great? Because the ignorance has been coming for a long time period, time immemorial, beginningless one. So this ignorance has been there forever. And therefore, it is great. And why is it called sleep? Because it does two things. Sleep does two things. One is, it covers the truth. It covers the truth. And second, it projects something else. That's what we do in sleep, right? In sleep, our true reality of who we are in the waking world is covered, and then we take on any role. We can become a horse, we can even become a dog, we can even become a devata. We can become anything we want in our dream, because covers the reality and projects a new reality. Likewise, this ajnana covers my true reality and projects for me the reality of the transaction, the reality presented by my likes and dislikes, the reality which is not there, but because of my ahankara, I have created that reality. The color of my clothes are only dear for me. That's my likes and dislikes. But it is not dear to the children. It is not dear to the near and dear ones. Because their likes and dislikes are different. In that same way, the reality which is there, that is the sat, this chit, it is this reality, the truth, that is covered, and now I project on top of it, I like this. I made this. I want this. And this transactional realm, we are guided. So this, when it is projected, jrumbhite, when it is arose, when it arises, and where does it arise? Jaganmaye. Jaganmaye is jagat, this world. So in this world, which is like a dirgha swapna. Dirgha Swapna means the dream is there till the knowledge of the waking doesn't happen. So we can have an experience of a whole year in our dream. But in reality, it could be only a matter of minutes, even seconds. But in that small moment, we would have lived so many moments in our dream. So it seems like a long time. Dirgha Swapna. But it is there, it appears, till knowledge has not dawned. So in all of these things, we have to remember that in the arose great sleep of the ignorance of the self, which is this world, which is like a long dream, in all of that, swarga mokshadi vibhramaha, the different types of illusions. So what are these illusions? Swarga. So by swarga, we know it is heaven, but Swayam Prakashiti ji gives another meaning of swarga is karmakanda. Why is swarga associated with karmakanda? It's because when you look at the Vedas, when you look at the scriptures, to go to swarga, the methodology given is you do this type of yajna, Ashwamedha yajna, and then you become the next Indra. And I think it is 100 or so Ashwamedha yajna that you have to do. Then you can become the next Indra. If you want the pada of Indra. But if you want to just go to heaven, then you have to do punya karma. Then you have to do some kind of upasana, and then you can go to swarga also. So different methodologies are given in the Vedas that take us to swarga. So therefore, by the word swarga is representing the karma kanda portion of the scriptures. Okay. By the word moksha, so swarga moksha. So by the word moksha is representing jnana kanda, which is shravana, manana, nididhyasana. That knowledge which explains for us the paramartha, the atma which is beyond this realm. That is moksha. And the word adi, swarga mokshadi. So that word adi means etc. And by etc. means laukika. Worldly transactions. Worldly things that one does. All of that are illusions created in this world. And they as though shine. They're not shining on their own, they're shining because of the light of Atma, but as though they shine and appear. So scriptures give us the jnana kanda, the scriptures give us the karma kanda. And although if we say that everything is false and only Brahman is real, we have no problem with that. We say, okay, yes, everything is false, Brahman is real, but swarga also is false, and the scriptures which are guiding to go to swarga through karma kanda That is also false. But it is valid because it is in the same transactional run. Because it is giving the guidance for the person to go to Swarga, which is false only. So there is no problem, there is no invalidity of the scriptures because of that. Okay, this is the idea. So scriptures are valid only. We are not saying that the scriptures are not valid. Think about it in this example. Okay. Example is like this. We are in a dream. You are dreaming, correct? But somebody comes in your dream and tells you, you are dreaming. Wake up. So, sorry, even before that, somebody comes and tells you that, you know, this dream that you are having, it's very disturbing. Let me give you an idea, a technique to get to a very peaceful dream. So the idea that the person will give in the dream to go to a peaceful state, all of that is false only. But that idea which is given in the dream, that idea is valid. Because in dream, it has meaning. It has full functionality. That is what Karma Kanda is like. Karma Kanda is saying, you are unhappy with the mixture of sukha and dukkha in this human birth. You do punya karma and you go to swarga, a better place where you can experience lot of sukha. So that scripture has a usefulness, and because it has a usefulness, it is valid. On the bigger scale, sure, it is false. Because the whole swarga itself is false, it is false. But still, scriptures were valid to give that knowledge. This is all before Atmajnana. Okay. Now the second idea is this. Again, in your dream, you're dreaming. But this time the person says, all this disturbance that you're having is because you're dreaming. Get up from your dream. Somebody is not outside, okay? Somebody is not outside of your dream and waking you up, pushing you to wake you up. The person is in your dream, meaning it is your mind creating an image of a person and is saying, you wake up, wake up. And then you wake up. That knowledge which you got in dream to wake up from the dream, will you say it is wrong? It is false? No. Sure, it was false because you were in dream, but you know it is false when you wake up. Upon waking up, it is false, but that doesn't make it invalid. Before knowledge. So before knowledge also that jnana is valid. Likewise, when the scriptures tell us about Brahma jnana through the words of the guru, we hear this knowledge, that although it is speaking about Paramartha. Because Brahman has no connection with the transactional world. Right? Knowledge of Brahman is all about Paramartha. Right. So knowing about Paramartha in transactional realm is not a problem. But the validity of Brahman, the validity of scriptures, of Jnanakanda, also is not there, meaning it is valid. Scriptures are valid. You cannot say it is not valid, even though it gives the knowledge about Paramatma. Because it is shaking the roots of a person to wake up from this dream and awaken to the new realm, to new reality. So all in all, the point that Swayam Prakashiti ji and Lakshmidhar Kavi ji is trying to present with this is scriptures are the valid means of knowledge, whether it is before realization or after realization. If it is after realization, just because you realize and it is no longer applicable doesn't mean that it was invalid before. And before realization, the scriptures were in the same transactional realm. The moksha, the swarga, all of that is in the same transactional realm. So the karma kanda is valid because it gives you swarga, which is also of the vyavaharika level. And even though Jnanakanda describes the paramartha in vyavahara, in the transactional realm, it describes the paramartha, even then it is valid because it is trying to wake you up from the false illusion, the false ignorance that we have donned upon ourselves, that I am Jiva. So it is valid at all times. Okay. Questions? Yes, Anita ji.
So it's of not, I mean, once you are one with Brahman, or once you reach that state, maybe for that particular soul, the scriptures don't mean anything. But they are the means to get there, so they are needed to be there. But it only for that particular, I wouldn't call it a person. Then once he's realized, he's, you know, like Jivan Mukta. Therefore, that person, the world is not existence or not real. But as such, it is there. So probably for the world will continue. So the value of the Vedas or value of all the scripture will mean same as before. Like even if you become a doctor, the anatomy, physiology still is needed for other people to realize and to go through that process.
Exactly. You have got the point. That because just because you realize and you find that scriptures are no longer applicable doesn't make the scripture false. Scriptures are still valid because that was the means for the person to get to where they are. If the scriptures weren't there, self-realization becomes very difficult. So we must be very thankful to our guru for giving us the scripture. So the point about shloka number 18, if we were to summarize in a very short, the summary is that scriptures are the valid means for knowledge. Alaukik vishaye vedaha pramanam. That is how the scriptures say. Alaukik means, laukika means very local, something that you already know, something that you already can easily come to know. How does a cell phone work? You can come to know If you don't know, you go and search whichever company the phone is from and figure out. Even if not, trial and error, you figure it out. You don't need scriptures for that. But that which you have never seen, meaning swarga. Swarga is alaukik. We have not seen. Death is alaukik. Nobody has seen. And those who have seen are not coming back to tell us how it is. So alaukika vishaye, that which is not so local, some pramana has to be there, and Vedas are the pramana. Vedas are the valid means of knowledge for that. This is about swarga. What about moksha? Again, same thing. Moksha, nobody has seen it. Because the moment you see it, you are completely free. And the moment you are completely free, the question of bondage and all of that is not applicable to you. So it is again alaukika. So who is the, what is the valid means for that? Scriptures alone are the valid means. So scriptures are valid in all aspects. So hopefully that was easy enough, right? There was not
too, that, yeah.
It was very simple only. There is no too much on this program.